Srimad Bhagavatam, Canto 7, Chapter 11, The Perfect Society, Four Social Classes, Text Number 14. Viprasyadhyayanadini Sharanyasya Pratigraha Ragyo Vriti Praja Goptur Avipradva Karadibi Viprasya of the Brahmanas Adhyayana Adini reading the Vedas, etc. Shat 6. To study the Vedas, to teach the Vedas, to worship the deity, to teach others how to worship, to accept charity and to give charity. Anyasya, of those other than the Brahmanas, the Kshatriyas, apratigraha, without accepting charity from others. The Kshatriyas may execute the five other occupational duties prescribed for the Brahmanas. Ragya, of the Kshatriya. Riti, the means of livelihood. Prajagoptu, who maintain the subjects. Aviprat, from those who are not Brahmanas. Va, or Kara Adibi, by levying revenue taxes. Custom duties, fines for punishment, etc. Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. For a Brahmana, there are six occupational duties. A Kshatriya should not accept charity, but he may perform the other five of these duties. A king or Kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on Brahmanas, but he may make his livelihood by levying minimal taxes, custom duties, and penalty fines upon his other subjects. Purport. Vishwanath Chakravarti Thakur explains the position of Brahmanas and Kshatriyas as follows. Brahmins have six occupational duties, of which three are compulsory, namely studying the Vedas, worshipping the deity, and giving charity. By teaching, by inducing others to worship the deity, and by accepting gifts, the Brahmanas receive the necessities of life. It is also confirmed in the Manu Samhita. Shanam tu karmanam asya trini karmani jivika yajana dhyapane chaiva visaccha pratigrahanaha pratigrahaha. Of the six occupational duties of the Brahmanas, three are compulsory, namely worship of the deity, study of the Vedas, and giving of charity. In exchange, a Brahmana should receive charity, and this should be his means of livelihood. A Brahmana cannot take up any professional occupational duty for his livelihood. The Shastras especially stress that if one claims to be a Brahmana, he cannot engage in the service of anyone else. Otherwise, he at once falls from his position and becomes a Shudra. Srila Rupa Goswami and Sanatana Goswami belong to a very respectful family. But because they engaged in the service of Nawab Hushain Shah, not even as ordinary clerks, but as ministers, they were ostracized from Brahminical society. Indeed, they became like Mohammedans and even changed their names. Unless a Brahmana is very pure, he cannot accept charity from others. Charity should be given to those who are pure. Even if one is born in a family of Brahmanas, if one acts as a Shudra, he cannot accept charity for this is strictly prohibited. Although the Kshatriyas are almost as qualified as the Brahmanas, even they cannot accept charity. This is strictly prohibited in this verse by the word apratigraha. What to speak of the lower social orders, even the Kshatriyas must not accept charity. The king or government may levy taxes upon the citizens in various ways, by revenue duties, custom duties, realization of fines, and so on, provided the king is able to give full protection to his subjects to assure the security of their life and property. Unless he is able to give protection, he cannot levy taxes. However, a king must not levy any tax upon the Brahmanas and the Vaishnavas fully engaged in Krishna consciousness. Viprasya dhyaya nadini shad anasya pratigraha ragyo riti praja goptor avipradva karadibi. For a Brahmana, there are 6 occupational duties. A Kshatriya should not accept charity, but he may perform the other 5 of these duties. A king or Kshatriya is not allowed to levy taxes on Brahmanas, but he may make his livelihood by levying minimal taxes, custom duties, and penalty fines upon his other subjects. According to this verse, that the Varnashram system is something practical. It's not just meant to, for the whims, that if I want to make some money, then I become a Kshatriya. Set up my office as a Kshatriya, and therefore everyone has to give me taxes. And I don't protect the citizens, I chastise them if they don't give me taxes. That's my duty, just to collect and spend for my daughter's wedding. That sort of administrator is quite prevalent in modern society, especially because after Sringi had cursed Maharaj Parikshit, the Brahmana class had become degraded. Actually, the Brahmana class, it is said that when the demons and the demigods fought on the shore of the ocean of milk, that those were killed, the demons were killed during that battle, they took birth as Brahmanas on this earth planet, the beginning of Kali Yuga. And the representative of all of them was Sringi. And Sringi, first of all, he cursed great kings such as Pariksha Maharaj to destroy not only the Brahminical class, but also the Kshatriya class. And nowadays, there are no Kshatriyas. There are no Brahmins. There are hardly any real Vaishyas. Practically, they don't even exist anymore either. And by quality, one is born Shudra, but according to Srila Bhaktivinoda Thakur, after being born a Shudra, one is educated to become less than an animal. Even Shudras are supposed to have certain qualifications, such as being submissive to their master. So because of that, society has degraded to the level of the animals. And although there may be some remnants of the Vedic culture somewhere, and there is some resemblance, at least theoretically, people accept that the leaders should be protecting the citizens, but we actually find that the leaders are the ones who are exploiting the citizens. Or as Prabhupada once said, organized crime in Kali Yuga means the government. Because in the other 4 Purusharthas, namely Dharma, Kama, Artha, Kama, and Moksha, only 2 of them exist in Kali Yuga so far. And they exist in a perverted way. There is no religiosity. People are not taught even the basic principles out of the 30 that we went over, namely truthfulness, cleanliness, austerity, and mercy. People are not clean. They're not austere. They're not truthful and they're not merciful. So how can they expect by this, as Prabhupada said, demon crazy, so-called democracy, demon crazy, how can we expect unqualified people to elect a qualified leader? In India, if you have enough rupees, you can just buy yourself into office. Just give everyone 500 rupees and they'll vote for you. Unless your opponent offers them 1,000 and then you lose. So this kind of educational, this type of leadership is what Kali Yuga is. There is a few Vaishyas who are spending all their time trying to figure out how to cheat the numerous Shudras. And it's not too, so difficult. You can just, by manipulation, you just obtain all the resources and then you buy everyone. You buy the judges, you buy the legislators, you buy the heads of state, the presidents, you just buy everyone. And one way or another, either by bribing them or by compromising them or by threatening them, then you simply take over the leadership of the country. And you take it over in order to steal as much resources as you can for your own personal benefit. And ultimately, your whole aim of life is to become the controller, to control everyone, so that people can't do anything without your sanction. Whatever whim comes to your mind, everyone has to follow. If not, they become deleted. And this is the dream. I don't like you, I just press a button and you're deleted. So that's when the Vaishyas don't protect the cows, they don't protect the Brahmins, then they become demons and they won't protect anyone. They don't protect the old people, they don't protect the children. They just are working whimsically. Ye shastra vidim usrija vartate kamakarata disasidim avatnoti nasukam naparam gatim. Those who don't follow scripture, or as Krishna says, trividam nararikasyedam dwaram nashitam atmanaha kama krota tatalobas tasmat etam trayam chajat. There are three gates leading to hell, namely lust, anger, and greed. Every sane person should become free from these three gates because they lead to the degradation of the soul. But people are lusty, they're greedy, they're angry, and they elect bigger, greedy, angry, lusty people as their leaders. And they expect peace and happiness. And they reject scripture, they reject all kinds of regulation. They think that this is all barbaric, this is all primitive. People should not control their senses. They should just do whatever they feel like. And that will produce happiness and prosperity. As if the Western world, by their demonstration of unrestrained, unrestricted sense gratification, has established a model of peace and prosperity. That every so many 20 years, there's some war where millions of people are slaughtered. And in between the wars, there's all kinds of recessions or depressions or whatever else that lead to the next war. So this is a product of sinful reactions due to people's sinful activities. Because there are no Brahmins, there are no people with vision, andaya tandera pikeya manaste pisha tantra uru dami bara. They think, nitevidu swartha katimi vishnu, they think to become a devotee of Krishna, or even to follow his instructions, is just one of the many alternatives. Maybe a few cult members who are, you know, couldn't make it be successful in the material world, they joined a cult called the Hare Krishna movement. And they follow some principles like, which no one else even talks about, like being merciful or being truthful or being clean or being austere, some kind of primitive idea about how to live life in spite of the great advancements of modern society. Well, you don't have to be austere. You don't have to be clean. You don't have to be merciful. You don't have to be truthful, because the sciences will solve everything. But this, we've seen, is simply a mental concoction, and ultimately just means the same thing again. Punak punas charivata charivanana. So madness means if you think you do the same thing again and again and again and again, this time you're going to get a different result. But actually when you do the same thing again and again and again, you always get the same result. And madness means to think that in spite of the fact that you're getting the same result, you think this time I'm going to get a different result. So there's one thing people learn from history. Do you know what that is? People don't learn from history. Otherwise, they wouldn't repeat the same mad things they do again and again and again. To establish Brahmins in society is not so easy, because people are not trained. Therefore, because they're not trained, because people are the product of Varna, Sankara, therefore they have no capacity to listen. Their minds are too disturbed. Kale Nava Rida Rajan. Let's see. Where does that go? Kalava Jima Vijayan Rajan. How does that start? The Kalava Manda Samanda Matiyo Manda Bhagya Upodrudaha. In this age of Kali, Kalo Apasa Alpa Yenasa. What's that? Prayena Yapasha Jana Kalavasmin Yuja Jana Manda Samanda Matiyo Manda Bhagya Upadrudaha. Then this age of Kali, Prayena Yapasha Sabdya, that people have but short lives. Kalavasmin Yuja Jana Manda, they're slow. They're very slow to take up spiritual life. Manda Sumanda. And even if they take up spiritual life, they usually get cheated by someone. They take up the wrong path of spiritual life. They take up a path which the leader says, you can become God in 3 months. Just follow me. My path is that there are no rules and regulations. You just do whatever you want and you'll get perfection. Or they write books about how you shouldn't read books. Or that everyone is guru and everyone is God. That if everyone is God, what do we need you to tell us, oh God? If we're already God, what do we need you to tell us anything? Does God need someone to tell them that they're God? Oh, by the way, you happen to be God. Oh, thanks a lot. I didn't know I knew everything. Thanks for reminding me. So manda samanda matayo, manda bhagya, and even if they take the right path, they're generally very unfortunate, they can't stick with it, because upadrutaha, their minds are always disturbed. Even if they get the right path, still they can't take advantage of it, because they can't hear. Their past activities have bewildered their mind, has agitated their minds so much that whatever they look at, whatever they see, wherever they are, their minds are always agitated. The only hope in this age is the loud chanting of the holy names distributed by brahminically minded devotees. We're able to set an example for society of how to control the mind and senses and utilize them in Krishna's service, so that the chanting actually has some practical effect on people's lives, and they can go from being a Shudra to becoming a Brahmin and realizing Brahman. Other than that, the Varnashram system is not very practical because people aren't willing to follow it, nor is the opportunity for them to follow it presented in modern society. There are no Brahmins who can perform sacrifice. There are no Kshatriyas protect anyone. There are no Vaishyas protecting cows. And there are no Shudras willing to perform service to the higher caste. And there is no Yagyavai Vishnu. There is no sacrifice for Vishnu other than the holy name. So therefore, the sacrifice in this age is chanting the Hare Krishna mantra. And if we do that, then we might raise our consciousness to the platform of actually realizing we're eternal souls, servants of Krishna, and then be effective in distributing that information to others and inspiring them to chant Hare Krishna also. So I'll stop there. Thank you. Any questions?
Hare Krishna. So we are also among those whose minds are always disturbed, and somehow or other we are here trying to do something in this movement. So how could one sort of at least try to go towards this direction?
Well, we can't regulate the mind so easily. At least we can regulate the body, and hopefully the mind will follow if we make an effort. In other words, the soul has the ability to be determined. If it wakes up and agrees that the soul should pay attention to the activities to devotional service and do them at least with attention, if not with care, then the result will be Krishna Dadami Bhuti Yogam Tam. Krishna will give it intelligence by which we can make progress in spiritual life. If we make an effort, in spite of our difficulties and obstacles, then Krishna will help if he sees that we're sincere in trying to make an effort. So we're not the only factor in the equation. Our past misdeeds may be a factor, and our lack of determination may be a factor. But by good association, we develop some determination to follow the process and pay attention to what we're doing and do it with some care, then Krishna will reciprocate and help us. We take the process a little bit seriously. And especially if we become interested in fulfilling Krishna's mission, then he's very anxious to empower us in order to do that. And part of that empowerment will be that we'll be able to more easily think about Krishna and follow the principles of devotional service and become more effective in our presentation of Krishna consciousness. Anything else? Okay, thank you very much. Grandharaj Srimad Bhagavatam Ki Jai.